Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday, Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd. The Doc getting ready for his big drive-through bonanza. But we're ready to start Sports Saturday this morning, and are we charged up for an interview that we have for you. But first, let us thank our financial benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Also found for drive-through services along the St. Clair Port Carbon Highway.
Always open online at
CACLFCU.org.
Breaking news.
Number
six.
That's the amount of times they've been voted the number one lending institution in our area. It's because you won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Thank you to BG's Value Markets for convenient locations for your shopping experience. Jonestown, Millersburg, Pine Grove, and Minersville. Don't forget, stop by and see them. Grilling season in full swing. They've got the freshest meat for the hottest irons of those summertime grills. Stop by, check them out. Hamburgers, hot dogs, all ready to go, along with some chicken and pork on that grill this weekend for Memorial Day. And you won't find any fresher meat than at BG's, because if it was any fresher,
you'd have to slap it.
And, my friend, it is out there. Woo!
Raspberry iced tea. It's raspberry iced tea.
Woo! From Schuylkill County's oldest family full service dairy.
Raspberry iced tea. Bottled and served along Tumbling Run Road. Raspberry iced tea.
Pick it up at your favorite retail location. It's Gear's new raspberry flavored iced tea. Don't forget the dairy line. From whole milk to skim milk. They want to say thank you for not making them dump any milk during this pandemic.
Amen.
And also the orange juice to get that vitamin C pumped up and get you rolling on a Saturday morning. And don't forget those delicious iced tea and fruit drink products, now featuring delicious raspberry iced tea. Chaz, here you go, baby, your first pint.
Wow. Hold on. Ooh. Refreshing.
Nice, isn't it?
Crisp.
Yeah. Thirst quenching. It's delicious. When you think something can't get any better, you're proved wrong.
I know.
Wow. So the delicious raspberry iced tea hydrating us here on WPPA Sports Saturday today. And big show on the way, Chaz. And, man, I've been previewing it all morning long, talking about this Martin Rooney interview we have coming your way in the second half of today's program about the electricity, the insight and information that comes from one individual is just unreal.
You're correct. And, you know, it'll be a great – that was me. It'll be a great – listen and a great conversation. And if you're not ready to run through the wall when this one's over, you
I know I was ready to run through a wall after we got it done. And you know, I mean, it was probably one of the most energetic and uplifting experiences that we had here in a long time. Yeah, I mean, we've had some good interviews over the last few weeks.
Yes, sir. And you know, it's been great to have the opportunity to catch up with all these people and bring it to our listeners here on Sports Saturday. And speaking of electricity, boy, did NASCAR get a bump.
Oh, yeah. How about the TV ratings for NASCAR is through the roof? Looking at the old days of NASCAR and television viewing audiences, of course, it's the only game in town right now. But, you know, I think after Wednesday's impressive showing of excitement passing throughout the pack and movement and you know.
The finger.
Yeah. The old proverbial bird made an appearance. There was a fox. What does the fox say?
You know, it was really interesting. I don't know is the right word, but it was great for NASCAR. And yeah, okay, the television ratings. But I'm going to talk on a competition level for the sport because, you know, you had a midweek race, which they've been thinking about for a long time, was trying to hit a midweek race. They hit it. But these races had no practice, no qualifying. And I heard some other talk radio segments where people kind of said, oh, it's Bush League to do that, draw the pills and invert the field. And it's like, you know, that's Saturday night short track local racing.
That's good racing. That's the roots.
Correct. That's the roots of the
NASCAR.
Sport.
Yes.
And, you know, but you could tell who had a good idea Sunday in their engineering, because it does come down to engineering. The guys get in the car
Absolutely.
And kind of just steer it. And then by Wednesday, after racing at the same joint twice in 4 days, Wednesday, everybody was a lot more competitive with one another. And it made for a great night in a midweek where you had, you know, the same track twice, and some people scratched a little bit about it, but it just elevated the racing competition and what you were viewing and how people were able to move around. The inversion meant nothing. I mean, the cars that were good on Sunday, they made their way to the front by the end of Wednesday night anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, even their Thursday afternoon that turned into an evening race in the Xfinity Series was very, very competitive this time. And NASCAR has been looking for this for I don't know how long, and they got it.
Well, the good news about what's happening is of course, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. on Fox, it will start the Coca-Cola 600. Mm-hmm. I believe it goes by, I think they're calling it like the Charlotte something or other, but...
no, I think they're still calling it the Coca-Cola 600.
Yeah, there's another name to it, too, also, but...
But the question is, are you going to show up?
Oh, I don't know. I got to wait and see, you know what I mean? But we will hopefully have the Redder
Oh, the
open.
Redneck Drive-In will be up and running. Maybe not right at 6 because it'll be a little bright out. But that race starts in the light and ends in the dark, and that dark part will be on the Redneck Drive-In Sunday night with the campfire roaring.
And then, you know, the interesting part about it, Chaz, is there will actually be spectators taking in the race tomorrow night. In turn one at Charlotte Motor Speedway, there is a tower of suites. Okay? And it's not really suites. It's condos. And there are some people who own condos there who maybe not live there all the time.
Can you hook us up?
But there are some people who are year-round residents. A lot of them are owned by, you know, I mean, you know, corporate sponsors, or might be owned by, you know, I mean, somebody who has a connection to the NASCAR sport. They are allowed to have five individuals inside each suite or condo, I should say, condo at the track tomorrow night. So there will actually be some spectators there in turn one. I believe Charlotte, not the only ISM, is it ISM or Speedway owned track that has condos in it?
Texas
also has them, yes. So, and there's some another
Daytona.
One that has them. I don't know who it is, but they will actually have some people in attendance, some spectators there tomorrow night to witness the running of the Coca-Cola 600. So, you know, slowly but surely, we got to take these small, you know, advances as big victories.
Hey,
you know,
May 29th is a huge dance here. May 29th is a huge dance here and Monroe County. Monroe County bigger for NASCAR because
now they'll be able to participate.
They can come to Pocono for the doubleheader, albeit they will not have fans.
But. Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be great. I mean, just to know that they're in our backyard, we'll be able to participate by watching it on the tube. But, you know, I would have loved to participate by...
Are we able to participate and watch cars go by us on the interstate?
Yeah, we could probably do that. Yeah, I mean, we could probably do that once again and get out there and show our support along the I and, you know, watch the trailers go up and down. But, you know, it's going to be good, though, to get a little bit of racing and get some things going. You know, I mean, we're still waiting to hear from Major League Baseball. That seemed to have gone quiet a little bit.
That's because the players are saying they want their full salary.
Yeah.
And Rob Manfred saying, whatever.
You know, my thing there, too, Chaz, is, yeah, I mean, like there has to be a spot where there has to be some type of, you know, forgiveness or whatever, albeit a lot of us have either been on quarantine lockdown and have either, you know, worked from the confines of our home, You know, some of us have taken pay cuts to, you know, keep our employer relevant and with the hopes of returning to full-scale operations here shortly, you know, under new guidelines and rules and safety procedures. You know, when the people paying your salary are the ones who are putting their fanny in the seat to watch you go out and play a ball game, are suffering as a ball player, you know what I mean, and as an individual, you know what I mean, a individual in the realm of entertaining us, you need to make sacrifices of those around you, you know? And if you don't, that's where they get the bad taste. Do you remember in 94, 95, 90, 94, right? That was the Major League Baseball strike.
Yes.
The work stoppage, okay? What happened to Major League Baseball? They were America's game, right? Before
yes.
that. Okay, and then what happened? They go out on a work stoppage, and the flavor of the fan changed. NFL and football became king and has yet to relinquish that seat. And why? Because the NFL has, I mean, as much as we like to say Paul Tagle boo, and we'd like to say, you know, who's the new commissioner?
Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell. Yeah, I mean, maybe aren't in the best interest. And everybody's always going to sit back and Monday morning quarterback, everybody, you know, presidents of leagues, coaches, owners, GMs, whoever. But they've always seemed to come and answer the bell when it was time to answer the bell. And, yeah, I mean, remember a few years ago we had the incidents of, you know, the Colin Kaepernick and all of that stuff. Where has all that stuff gone? The NFL answered the bell and said, hey, listen, you're going to do this or you're going to do that. And, you know, I mean, this is the way we're going to go because this is what our fans want. So they follow the fans. Okay? So if the fans are demanding, like, listen, we want baseball, but you're going to be a little, you know, wham, 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 and take your ball and go home. You know what? I don't care. As a fan, I don't care. You're getting paid millions of dollars to entertain me. I'm paying a good hard-earned money that I go out and work for every day to support you by buying your jersey, buying your cap, buying your socks, buying your shoes, you know, buying emblems and buying merchandise and all of that stuff, and all that's going to pay your salary, and then you don't want to make a sacrifice like I had to make a sacrifice? It starts to open up the fans' eyes, and then you see a revolt. You see the downturn in people showing up out to the ballpark. You see that. The Take It Back campaign needs to come back.
Now, doctor, let me explain something to you, young grasshopper. The ticket sales and concessions are kind of gravy to Major League Baseball and the owners. Where they make their money to pay those salaries?
It's television contracts.
Right.
And that's the way it works with the NFL.
So who gets hurt in the end? The owner.
Yeah. It's
and who don't the players care about?
The owner.
The owner.
Yeah. And it's a shame. It's a shame. But, yeah, I mean, when they're – I mean, not only the owner gets hurt, Chaz. You know, I mean, the people that work that concession stand, the people that take your ticket, the people that make sure your seat is wiped off when you go to sit down or something like that, they're the individuals that get hurt in the end, too. And it's a shame that that stuff, you know, happens and that these few select, you know.
You quit screwing with that.
Sorry. These few select goons, I will call them, you know, want to speak up and all that stuff. You know, hey. You could have your $330 million man because he's a goon in my eyes.
And that's the baseball world, according to the Dr. Ed Benishunas.
That's just the real world. Think about it.
Let's take a timeout, simmer him down a little bit, come back, we'll bump some gum some more, and then we'll hear from Martin Rooney, the author of Coach to Coach. It's all coming up on Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, and around the world at WPPARadio.com.
Missed the show? Don't forget we're a podcast. Find us at Apple, Google, Spotify, and all podcast platforms across the world. And don't forget our host site, anchor.fm.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road is the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy. Gears prides themselves on their high standards and offers quality produced milk products as well as orange juice, fruit drinks, and their very own popular iced tea. Make Gears a name you invite into your home every day. Look for Gears products in your favorite supermarket or convenience store. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, the county's oldest full-service family-owned dairy, always committed to excellence.
Raspberry iced tea, the kind you find at your grocery store. Raspberry iced tea.
From Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road.
You didn't even rhyme.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you had to rhyme.
Well, usually songs do. You know, it's kind of lyrical.
Oh.
You know.
Oh.
But anyway, welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. Doc, you simmer down now?
Whatever. Whatever.
Just wondering.
Whatever. You don't see it my
Joe
way.
Joe Flacco has a new job. I heard your report this morning.
Yeah, Joe Flacco, new job, backup quarterback at the New York Jets. Biggest question, 35 years old, just had a herniated disc taken care of in his neck back in April. No contact until late August, early September. $1.5 million to be the backup to Sammy Darnold.
Well, there you have it. So anyway, what else is up in the sporting world? We're getting set to figure out what the PIAA is going to do. You saw that there was a list of guidelines by the National Federation of High School Athletics, and Bob Lombardi saying, it's just a guide. We'll see. We'll see. Depends on the governor. The governor, of course, has moved some counties to green, so that's a step in the right direction. I think the move from yellow to green for some places may occur a little quicker than the red to yellow phase did, but...
Yeah, and I mean when they move to that green, that allows organized sports to once again be a part of your every day. So
I saw a cool meme of a football player catching a football with a spray bottle in one hand. I don't know if you saw that.
Ugh.
Quarterback throws the football at him. He reaches out with the spray bottle. He sprays the mist at the football in the air and then catches it with the other hand. That was pretty cool.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Oh, because I know there was some working out done by... some people that I know of, and I'm familiar with, they all have like three or four letters in their names, Dez, Dak, and Zeke. So they are working out this week and, you know, throwing passes and stuff like that. But, you know, time will only tell what's going to happen here. We could, simmer down things, not just myself, but simmer down this virus and start getting back to a little bit of normal. See in our lives.
Just don't use the other operative word in front of that lately, which
what's
drives
that, the
me
new
crazy.
Normal?
That drives me nuts.
Yeah. How about the, let's talk about the trash talking going on between Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. Did you hear that?
Well, they're in that all-in business. I mean, Robert Kraft put his Super Bowl ring up in that all-in challenge.
Oh, did he?
And raised a couple million dollars for it. Sure they're all trash talking. They're and it's a good thing.
Yeah, Brady or what did Manning say? Something like, Tom Brady's won't be hated just on the golf course. You're also hated in Indianapolis, Pittsburgh or something, and New England. So he gave it a little, you know, a little smash mouth talk there a little bit. You know, I think it's funny, like, Peyton Manning has turned into this, like, comedian or something, you know, bringing out the funny side
in
him.
It seems he's, no, I don't know that he's necessarily turned into one. He probably always had it, but he just never caught it because that side of him was never covered.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's funny. I like those commercials he has there with that country star.
Brad Paisley.
Yeah, and she's very important here in Peytonville. She's the agent. I got her autograph. That must be kind of small. Yeah, you can barely see it. I laugh at that. It seems to all start. Yeah, I mean, I guess the first time we got to see his humor was when he was on Saturday Night Live that time.
Uh-huh.
You know? But I still want to know what Omaha.
Who knows? But, you know, when you take a look at our sporting world today, and hopefully we can get back to regular here and we can get ready to enjoy our fall coverage and, you know,
hopefully.
We'll see.
Hopefully. Time will only tell what's going to happen, you know. It's sit and wait game, you know, and that's the worst thing about it is the wait part. You know, the sitting's not bad, but the wait part, you know, is the bad part. And I'm not talking about the WAIT part of weight. I'm talking about the WEIGHT.
Yeah, it's climbing again, huh?
No, mine isn't. But it could be for climbing for some people. And if you find yourself in that situation, you want to make sure you stay tuned here for Martin Rooney. He will tell you how to get up and get motivated. But most importantly, he's going to talk about his experiences as a coach, Chaz.
And not only as a coach, but his experiences through life. And I think it's a great... I'm telling you, you'll hear it. I advocate to get the book and read it. It's pretty wild, depending on your situation. It's not only about coaching and that kind of stuff. There's more to it.
It's life lessons, and it's very important. I think it should be on a summer reading program for a lot of colleges and, you know, I mean, maybe even high schools or whatever. I think, I mean, if you sit down and listen to this and you're a high school administrator or coach or anything, you should advocate to get this to start off the new year and get your people all on board, you know what I mean, because he gives some good life experiences and lessons in it.
Well, Doc, what do you say we take a break? And we'll introduce Martin Rooney to our WPPA listeners.
Yeah.
And they can take it all in because it's coming up next on AM 1360, 106 FM. Also around the world at WPPAradio.com.
Don't forget the podcast. We're on Spotify. We're also at Apple, Google Podcast platforms, and our host site, Anchor.fm.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Welcome back here to WPPA Sports Saturday. Now, joining us on the program is Martin Rooney, the founder and CEO of Training for Warriors, the internationally recognized pioneer of strength and conditioning for the martial arts. He's also a former U.S. Bobsledder. He is a former coach with the New York Football Giants, the New York Jets, and also has experience in training some of the military's elite in the Army and also the Navy SEALs, and he's joining us here on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Martin, and you're also the author of a new book called Coach to Coach, and this is what inspired us to give you a call today, is you talk about your coaching experiences and your training experiences, and you come out in the end and say, middle schoolers and high schoolers are your favorite individuals to coach.
Yeah, well, hey, my pleasure to be here, guys, and for everybody listening, I hope everybody is safe and well. And, yeah, I mean, although stuff like the bobsled and the military elite and the professional footballers and UFC sounds so amazing, where I cut my teeth to coaching and where I learned the most about coaching was with my youth and high school and middle school athletes. And I'm still with great pride, the high school track and field coach in our town right now. And what I meant by that is, and maybe a shout out to everybody, right now in this challenging time, we have all become coaches. And, hey, we're not coaching NFL guys and UFC guys. Actually, that's not that hard. They're pretty motivated. But to be able to coach our youth and our kids, I believe it's the most important job in the world. And my hat's off to all the coaches around the world that are doing that.
You know, Martin, in taking a look at the book, and I know it's written from a coach's perspective, but I think the cooler part of the book is that irregardless of what position you have in life, you're always coaching somebody in something. So there's something to glean from this more than just how you get coaches to see on how to deal with their athletes. It's truly about dealing with people.
Absolutely. And hey, the book, although it's called Coach to Coach, that actually wasn't even the original name I wanted to give it, because, you know, you guys have read it, so you're getting that message that everybody is a coach. If you're a husband or wife right now, you're a coach. If you're a mom or a dad or a brother, sister, teammate, coworker, man, we got to coach people up more than ever. And this book transcends that. So it uses sport as a vehicle in the story. But if you realize, too, there is a whole section about how the husband and wife are coaching each other, how he's coaching his kids. And, man, I've just been so excited for how many people have really been affected by the message, and especially at this tough time.
Martin, not your first attempt at penning up a book. You are an accomplished author of The Ultimate Warrior Workout, or Training for Warriors, Cardio Workouts, and this is the first, though, that you've taken in this type of perspective, right?
Yeah, so this was I would definitely say this was a departure for me, meaning my original books, which, hey, are in a lot of languages around the world, but they were more fitness-based, exercise-based, whereas I wanted to do something bigger. I wanted to do something that had a even larger impact for a bigger audience. And what I realized teaching my coaching greatness courses around the world, after they would end, people would always say, Martin, you got to write a book on this stuff. You got to write a book on this stuff, which, by the way, guys, when somebody says that to you, they don't understand how much work goes into writing a book. But I said, well, what do you like? And they said, well, we love the stories. And I said, well, how about if I write a story with more stories within the story to teach this? And that was the genesis of the book, which took a long time to write. But immediately, one of the biggest publishing houses in the world, Wiley, and I had no agent, no nothing. I sent it in. Within a day, they called me and said, we got to have this. We got to fast track it. And it released mid-March amongst maybe one of our toughest times in history.
Now, Martin, not everybody walks around with this kind of information in their back pocket. There had to be a great journey for you to figure this stuff out, so to speak. What were some of your inspirations? Where did you learn some of these lessons coming up through? I'm sure it was through both hardships and celebrations.
Oh, absolutely. Like, so for anybody listening, and if you say, oh, wow, he sounds like he did a lot of stuff, well, that means I'm old, number one, and that also means I've had to just have made so many mistakes. That's how you learn this stuff. And what I tried to do was write the book so people didn't have to. Now, a little note, now that you guys have read the book, everything in the book, although it's a fictional story, everything in the book is real. It all happened. They are all real people that I base these things on in some capacity, or the characters are a composite of that. And really, it was through the making of all those mistakes that it happened. So, you know, for a little summary, as you guys know, it's an old coach talking to a young coach. The inspiration for me to write that was, what would I say to myself 25 years ago when I got into coaching? What would I tell that kid what I know now that I wish I knew then? And that was the inspiration behind the book. So absolutely, every challenge, every hardship that is in this great story are things that really happened, but that is how I learned it. So I wish I could say, oh, it was easy and I just always knew this stuff, but that wasn't the case. And but an expensive lesson is one you got to learn yourself. An inexpensive one is you learn through the wisdom of others, and that's what I'm hoping this book is for everybody out there.
So when you look at some of those, the old coach, and, you know, you talk about Brian, the young coach, trying to learn these lessons and balance the home life and the work life and those kind of things through athletics, you know, who were some of those lesson teachers to you?
Yeah, well, the guy that I dedicated the book to is, this was a coach that found me when I was young. I was about 12 years old, really not feeling great about myself. And I got cut in a baseball tryout because they weren't taking any kids our age. And he was standing outside the door and said, "Hey, kid, you look perfect for this. You could do track. You look perfect for track." And that simple word, or that guy, the courage he had standing outside that door, changed the trajectory of my life. I went out for track. The next 7 years, I worked with him. I got a college scholarship. Then I was always in such shape, I made the bobsled team, and then helped create a company that worked with youth athletes around the world to let them know they're perfect. And a lot of the inspiration behind it and a lot of the great lessons that are in it are the ones that I learned from him 35 years ago. And we're still in touch today. And maybe one of the greatest moments from this whole book was when I sent the book to him. He didn't even know I wrote it, and he definitely didn't know I dedicated it to him. And I received a voicemail message where he could barely speak. He was so choked up and crying to realize and be reminded how much he mattered. And that's my message, I think, overall for everyone that reads it, is everybody has impact in someone's life. Everyone is a coach. And if you do it right, the world will be a better place.
You know, Martin, one of the surprising things, I guess, about the book is the foreword is written by, you know, not just any common Joe off the street. It's a Super Bowl champion. It's a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback by the name of Phil Sims.
Yeah, well, Phil, when I was getting my start in coaching, he, you know, not only was I working with him, but and he became almost a training partner, but when it was time for his son to have a coach, he entrusted me. And I had the lucky opportunity to work with his son, Chris, who's now a, you know, big ESPN guy. And then I had the opportunity to work at NBC, and I had the opportunity to work with his son, Matt. And they both went on to be NFL quarterbacks. I became almost like part of the family. But when Phil and I were talking about this book, and you saw what he said in there, he said, "Man, everybody's a coach, but the most important coach is the ones that coach your kids. It's not some a guy on an NFL or Sunday or a college football guy at Penn State. Yeah, those guys are important, but the guy coaching your kids is more important." And because I was that guy for him, he was happy to write the foreword, which I thought was amazing.
I find it very interesting, your delivery here with us this morning, Martin. Enthusiasm. You seem to have enthusiasm for life.
Well, here's what I will say about that. A lot of guys say, man, that Martin Rooney, he's got two speeds, either ferocious or asleep. And I'd love to say that that is true, but here's what I will say. I'm enthusiastic because I do what I love. And, hey, I was also an orthopedic therapist for a number of years. I liked it, but I didn't have the same passion, and therefore I didn't have the same enthusiasm. So as you remember from the book, too, a big part of it also challenges the reader to make sure, are you doing what you love? Like, just, hey, one piece of advice I'll give everybody listening, especially during this tough time, is it's a time to reevaluate. It's a time to question. And if you just found out the last 10 or 15 years has been spent in a career you don't love, well, I hope you don't continue that when this is over. You know, now this is a reset to find what are you enthusiastic for so that you can share that with more people. And that's a lot of what the book is about.
Martin, one of the things that comes to my mind is, how does somebody get involved in bobsledding? It's not one of those usual sports. We just go down the street. There's a bobsledding club, or you know, you go across the street to the football field, baseball diamond, anything like that in your local community. I know usually the guy that's pushing the sled is a track athlete.
Yep. Well, I guess it's a bigger or longer story than I even remember. But when I was a kid, I played ice hockey. And every summer, I would go to ice hockey camp in Lake Placid, New York. And so I was always familiar with Lake Placid, you know, the Olympic Games there. I was about 10. And here's a crazy part of the story. A guy from my high school in New Jersey actually made the 1988 Olympic team. Hmm. So somehow bobsled was always coming up in my life. But here's where the story gets crazy. I came home from the Medical University of South Carolina. So I was living in South Carolina, going to school, and I came home for one weekend because my grandmother was sick in New Jersey, And my buddy says, hey, man, are you home? I just heard they're having open bobsled team tryouts and they're looking for fast, strong guys. That's you, man. And he came and picked me up, took me down there, and I passed the test and got a real tryout at the Olympic Training Center. And then I passed that too, called my university and said, I'm not coming back this semester. And got to represent the Stars and Bars around the world for a bunch of years. And that was another big life-changing moment.
Talk about that bobsled a little bit. I'm very curious because I love bobsledding. I love to watch it when it's on the Olympics, and I just want to touch on it. I mean, how fast are you going down there? What's going through your mind as you're going down those turns and slopes?
Well, remember, when I was on the team in the 90s, it was even more dangerous sport. The technology, the sleds had gotten faster, but the tracks stayed the same. So that's a dangerous and sometimes deadly combination. And so a lot of people, when they see the sport, they say, oh, wow, it looks so cool. That looks fun. But I'll tell you, and anybody that has bobsled experience will agree, I mean, it's a dangerous mission every time. You're going almost 100 miles an hour. And if you're just the push athlete like I was, you're at the mercy of the guy driving. You have no control. You do nothing but keep your head down and pray. And now imagine being on a roller coaster that goes 100 miles an hour, can come off the track at any time. You're in a skin suit in sometimes 30 or 40 below weather. It's not all that it sounds that it's cracked up to be, but I will never trade it. It was an amazing experience. My best friend still today is the head coach of the Canadian Olympic team now, which is really cool. And he won the silver medal at the 2002 games. But definitely, I think a lot of people think it's this fun, ooh, smooth sport where, man, I would say it's the most dangerous voluntary thing I ever did. And I am not, if somebody said, hey, man, would you love to get in a sled right now? I would say, no way.
You know, when you take that kind of experience and then you look at coaching high school athletes, some of those very same scary moments still exist, though, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and hey, how about this? So my daughter is a top-ranked, for her age group, heptathlete in the U.S., and she is on that track team that I coach. And one thing is to coach kids. Another one is to coach your own kid. And I'll tell you what, I'll also equate it like my UFC fighters and stuff. When that cage door closes and you have such a relationship with your people and you've done everything you can for them, but then it's up to them, I will say that that's about as scary as it gets. Like, I never get more nervous and I got to not show it. You got to look straight. You know, the coach has to look strong, but there's just something about those individual events like combat sports and track and field when that athlete is all out there by themselves and you just have this feeling of helplessness that you can't help them. Actually, I would probably get in the bobsled before that than having to watch some of those things. So I agree. You know, there are scary times for coaches all the time because they're invested and they just want the best for those athletes. But eventually, it's up to them.
Martin, you know, you've coached team sports and you coach individual sports where it is, you know, I mean, more or less away from a team, you know, UFC, track and field. Yeah, you get points for the team, but it's individually that you gain those points. I mean, and, you know, compared to a team sport like baseball or football, what's easier or what's harder, do you think, to coach? I mean, you've had the experience in both sides.
That's a great question. And I've gotten so many questions and I never got that one. Like, what's easier? I would say, I'll go with this one, that I think coaching team sports is a little bit easier. There's a much bigger culture that is built. There's an enthusiasm that helps motivate everyone. And because they're working together, man, when you're winning, it's an incredible experience. For instance, shout out to Wayne Hills High School. I got to work with them for a decade. We won a number of state titles on the floor of Giant Stadium in New Jersey, and there was just nothing like the experience. So I got to say, through all the good and bad times, it was so much fun to be part of that team environment where, hey, when you're training a UFC guy, it's all or none, and you got to keep them motivated, but it doesn't always have that same team experience. And when there's a loss, man, and I've been a part of some big ones, you know, for championship belts on the line, and you're the only guy in there with them in that locker room after, that's a whole lot less fun than, okay, if a team lost a big game, you're still there as a team and a family. So I would definitely say, in terms of more fun, the team, you know, and maybe slightly sometimes more challenging, it's for that one individual.
You know, when you break it down and going through the book, and you could see where it's really about a coach that's lost his way a little bit. He had that fire a little bit, and then, you know, losing kind of gets to him, and he kind of changes his trajectory. How important is it for a coach to stay focused on what's important, and that is the people you're entrusted to teach?
Well, I think it's the most important thing, and really, this COVID-19 experience, guys, has shown us, you use that word important, right? And we've heard this other word a lot, essential. And I will say this, for anybody listening, everybody is essential. You know, I don't care what you do, you are essential to someone else. But this has showed us what's most important, right? Like, what's most important? It's our families, it's our connection, it's our careers. And sometimes we lose sight of that. So I think this has been a great gift. And that guy in the book, he makes a transition like that where he has to almost ask himself, is this really what I want to do? Is this what I really love? And I think we're always going through that, right? Like, here's a great line I learned, is I really discovered, even for myself, sometimes before this happened, I was complaining about a dream come true. Like my dream come true is being a coach. My dream come true is being around my kids. And then, you know what? Sometimes I'd find myself complaining about that. And this experience has showed me, nope, like, man, I remember what is important. I will not do that. But, like, I would do anything right now to be out coaching my kids, and I can't do it. So it's shown me what I love the most, right? And I think everybody right now needs to kind of revisit that a little. And, hey, if you get the book Coach to Coach, it's going to help you do it.
Martin, we have a lot of coaches, high school football, baseball, basketball, that are big fans of our show here on a Saturday morning. And, I mean, early on you talked about, you know, motivation in the professional ranks. I mean, everybody's motivated by the ultimate green dollar. But, yeah, I mean, as a kid, whether maybe not that motivation, what can I do to get that kid motivated to set down the telephone, to set down the video game controller, to set down whatever they may be involved in and get out and participate and be 110% on that field?
Well, hey, you know what's funny is I think that's the most important job the coach has in the world. Like right now, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Yeah, with technology, with staying inside, we're going to have a real battle ahead getting those kids back out and back acclimated to sport. But here's what I would say. My biggest advice, and I did it with my own kids, you got to, one, keep it fun. I think sport, unfortunately, hey, when we were kids, we were outside playing all day and making up games. Yep. Until our parents called us inside. And that isn't happening anymore. We're over-programming. It's like now it's training. It's not fun. It's like, and we're just hammering kids at younger ages instead of letting them discover and just have a great time. So I would say that coach has to make it fun, and the coach has to give them some wins. So what do I call that? Like, the kids got to experience a little bit of success, and then that'll get them interested to have more. Because I'll be honest, nobody wants to do something they don't like or they're not good at or they feel embarrassed by. And that's not the job of a coach. The job of the coach is to find something great, to say you could be perfect for this. And all of a sudden, maybe the kid will discover it. So my biggest determinant of how good a coach is not the wins and losses. One of them is, does that kid come out back for the sport the next year again? And do they come with a smile on their face and they can't wait to play? And because, man, we can't control the wins and losses all the time, but what we can control is our enthusiasm and being infectious for those other kids. And for every young coach or youth coach listening right now, we need you more than ever. And hey, I promise you, if you read the book, there's going to be some secrets inside how to do it.
I think one of the finest secrets and one of the most interesting lessons I learned at a young age is that 1 foot of distance. It's pretty important, and I'm not going to give the cat out of the bag on that, Martin, because I think it's important for people to pick up the book and see exactly what that is. But sometimes I think coaches in their, I wouldn't even say zest, but in the position that they're in a high school setting, is you're expected to win or people replace you. But that 1 foot there when you're in that rut is so vitally important, particularly when it comes to kids.
Absolutely. Well, and that for anybody, for husbands, for wives, you got to know how to navigate that foot properly. And what I will say to all coaches out there is, hey, guys, your job's not to be tough. Your job's to help somebody become more and help them become better. And to comment on your win and loss thing, here's something funny I always talk about. So let's say right now, right? Like, let's say Dabo Swinney, right? Like, he's won 80 games in the last, like, 6 or 7 years. If he went 0-13 the next season of college football, does that mean he's not a good coach anymore? And it's like, no, like, he's probably the same exact guy, same coach. Maybe he didn't have the same kids. Maybe the ball didn't bounce the way he did. So I just hope everybody is not measuring themselves just on wins and losses. I get that's how it works, but that isn't what it's just all about. And man, keeping sight of what's most important, which I always did, you know what? The wins kind of happen naturally anyway. And again, all of those secrets are inside of that book.
You know, Martin, when you talk about it, you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, kids these days are different. And yeah, we talked about it a little bit with the technology. But going back through all this, do you truly find kids are different these days?
Here's what I would say. I would say, is the mindset different, or how kids maybe have approached things because the way they've been raised? I could say some. Like, look at it this way. I was raised in the 70s. My parents were tough. And you know what? And the coaches were tough. And you listen to what they said. And maybe they could get away with a little more negative motivation or make you run some laps. Where today, with helicopter parents and kids, the way they're raised different, yeah, like, it's not that kids are different, but you need to take a slightly different coaching approach. Now, hey, am I still tough? Am I still motivating? Do I get these kids to work? Absolutely. But the days of, like, the punishing coach or the guy that's going to use the same drills that you want them to do as punishment, like, those days are over. And here's the thing. When I was coming up in sports, they restricted water. They gave you salt tablets. They actually used to promote giving you a concussion. So, hey, if that stuff has changed, then we can agree that the way we coach should change too. But what we should never lose sight of is that, yeah, like, do we want to win? Of course. But, like, we want these kids to be better and to have a life that is positively impacted through the lessons we taught. And no job in the world comes along with such an authority and responsibility for that as coaching. And that is the big reminder I wanted the book to be. Like, I want the book to be the Hippocratic Oath for coaches. Is it the be-all, end-all? No. But it should be something that if you call yourself a coach or a mom or a dad, you've had to have read it. And I know if, man, one more high five gets thrown or one more nice compliment is given because of the book did its job.
Martin, a very important part, of course, Coach to Coach, book could be found where during this time? Probably the easiest way is that everybody knows, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Amazon.com, guys, that's where you go. I mean, obviously, people aren't going out to bookstores right now. So, hey, Amazon will have it to you. And, man, and, you know, I just hope if everybody's listening that they really enjoy it. And if you're intimidated, right, or you say, oh, I haven't read a book in a while. We were talking about this beforehand. It's such an easy read, and it's such a great story. You're going to get pulled in. Most people read it in two sittings and then go back for the gold. So I promise if you give it a shot, not only is it going to give you a great story and improve your coaching, but it might get you back into some reading too. And there's an audio version on Amazon if you want to listen to it.
Martin, you know, I could see why Fortune 500 companies like Nike and Hasbro and NFL teams have brought you in to give some direction and some enthusiasm. Boy, are you fired up. Is this natural or is it caffeine?
You know what's funny is I don't even really drink much coffee. But, yeah, so, hey, have I always been a pretty fired-up guy? Absolutely. But, again, hey, when everybody reads the book, they're going to get it. What's the easiest way to influence or inspire someone is be on fire, right? And then everybody else around you burns. And I learned that a long time ago. I describe it as I'm a coach always with veins in my neck, but I consider that's my job. And, hey, who couldn't use some motivation right now?
Yeah, and you talk about that motivation. If somebody's listening this morning and they have a problem. Like, hey, listen, I used to go to the gym 5 days a week. The gym has been closed for the last 2 months. It's not going to reopen here for quite some time. I mean, what kind of motivation can you give to that person?
Well, here's what I would say. Hey, just because we've been pushed in our homes does not mean that fitness is no longer important or our diet. Actually, it's more important than ever. And a lot of people out there used to tell me, oh, I can't work out. I don't have the time. Oh, I can't have dinner with my family. I don't have the time. Oh, I can't eat right. I love that one. I can't eat right. I don't have the time. And right now, we got the time. So if you're not doing it, it wasn't a time problem. It's a discipline problem. And how you build discipline is every day. So I would suggest, even if it's push-ups, going for a walk with your family, something, but you got to stick with it, because when this is over and we all emerge again, man, we don't want to emerge worse. So everybody right now should be doing their best. And I appreciate it's tougher, but hey, find what you love. What's your favorite music? Get it blasting. Start with, hey, it starts with the first 5 push-ups or something. And now, me being 60 days in, cooped up, man, my workouts, that's my big escape during the day and the stuff I look forward to most, where I got to be honest, when this all started, it wasn't. But I built that new habit. And, hey, the longer, if this is going to go longer, I'm challenging everybody. You gotta keep up the work until they let us out.
Well, Martin, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day here to join us on WPPA Sports Saturday. And once again, remind the listeners where you can pick up the new book penned by Martin Rooney. It's called Coach to Coach.
Yeah, so Coach to Coach, guys, Amazon.com. I promise you'll get not only a great read and, hey, as a final push, coaches that are on the back of this that got behind the book, Dan Gable, Lou Holtz, you know, Sean Johnson, America's Sweetheart, but the one I love the most, Rudy from the movie Rudy, said it's a great football story. So, guys, if you love sports stories and you want to get a little bit better, read Coach to Coach.
Martin, I got to agree with you. I'm almost through it, and I am learning valuable lessons, not only coaching, but just being the person that I am. So I want to thank you for taking time to pen this book.
Nah, my pleasure, guys. My pleasure.
Rudy, Rudy, Rudy.
I like that.
You're in a sweat from doing push-ups.
Yeah, I did the first 5, and I did 5 more. You're yet to do any. I've got 10 in already.
Well, I'm busy.
Oh, gosh. Just get at it, my friend. Don't forget, let's get at it right now as we close the program up. We got to say thank you to Martin Rooney. Get out there and get that book. I'll tell you what, I haven't read a book in probably 3 years, like cover to cover.
Well, one of our coworkers here said, I'm so proud of you. You're reading a book.
Yeah, good. That's what I like. We're finally reading
because
books.
I've been talking this up all week. And yes, we really got to thank Martin for coming on the program and get the book. I'm telling you, it's worth it. Anyway, Doc, it's time to go. You got a drive through block party to conduct.
Yeah.
At the Englewood Fire Company, 7th and Pine Streets in the Englewood section of Frackville.
Yep. Yep. Oh. Stop on by. Check it out. We've got the select block party favorites for you for your enjoyment during this COVID-19 pandemic.
We also have to thank CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Now open on the Port Carbon, St. Clair Highway. Boy, I almost put them both together. I almost said Port Clair. Port Carbon Highway for drive-through services only. Always open at caclfcu.org. You won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
BG's Value Markets, 4 convenient locations, Millersburg, Jonestown, Pine Grove, and Minersville. They've got the freshest meat for the hot irons of your grill. If their meat was any fresher, Chaz Hebler,
you'd have to slap it.
Raspberry iced tea.
The kind you find from Gears Dairy.
Yeah, that's right. Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road, now has raspberry iced tea on the shelves of your favorite retail location. Stop by, check them out. Thank you to the raspberry iced tea from Gears Delicious here on WPPA Pottsville, translator W290DP Pottsville.